experience it and have a chance to show their work?
Yes, exactly. And as a high school teacher, I thought, well, should I work with the high school students? And I thought, well, it would be better to work with students that have, or former students that have a connection to an to someone. And Mary Vaughn has a lot of connections because she was in Art Start, and she still maintained those connections. And so that was a ready group of individuals who would probably step forth to have their first newcomer show.
Oh, that's so exciting. Great. So, Mary, tell us a little bit about your experience with Art Start.
Well, I was lucky when I first came to Sonoma County. Before I was making a living painting, you do everything you can in order to paint. And I met Mario Uribe somewhere, and he invited me to interview for Art Start, and it turned out to be just a fantastic experience for me, you know, learning more about paint, working with young people. I had been a teacher in Princeton, New Jersey for 13 years, so I had that background. And for some reason, he just kept hiring me back, and I think I probably had some artistic, you know, I wanted to be an artist, but I also liked teaching, and I sort of was made for both of those things, and that's how I came to Art Start. And what's so wonderful about the newcomer's invite, and that took us a little time to figure out the title, you know, if we said young artists, people might think it was high school or younger. If we said emerging artists, that's something different, too. We had newbie there for a while, and then it came down to newcomer, which was the idea that some of these seven have developed their art for a while, but they haven't had, they don't have established backgrounds, or they don't have email lists, or they don't have this or that. And four of the seven I knew when they were teenagers. Turned out one of them knew Nick also, and I had worked with them before, just kind of helping them along, giving them feedback when they wanted it, or they'd ask me questions, and I'd say, come on over, let's have coffee, let's talk about your work. That's gone on for a while. And then when Nick came up with this idea, it was kind of wonderful to look over the people I knew. And so we made this little sort of guideline that it would be 22 graduates from college who were maybe art majors through 37. There's seven of them, all those ages. I did look for men, young adults that were men, and I just couldn't find any. I knew these young women over time. I knew they'd rise to the occasion if we threw something at them.
Wow, that's so cool. So describe what this is going to be. What are people going to see when they come to the First Friday event, March 1st, at the Backstreet Galley, which is there off of South
Bay?
What are people going to see?
There were some important things that I wanted to make sure happened, and we've only talked about this for 3 months, so it took about a month to figure out what we wanted to do, and then I found them. And so part of the component is we made it so that they would sort of have a few critiques with me or feedback over the weeks. So there'll be two to six pieces of new work. It was important for me to look at what they were doing and then sort of encourage them to either add to what they were doing or make sure they had two new pieces out of the six. Some will have all six new pieces. Some work large, so then they'd only have two pieces. And then, lo and behold, one day I was walking out to my wood shop across from Backstreet, and there was a velvet bandit band-aid with art heels on it. I look at that daily, and it's such a positive message. And it dawned on me, maybe we should have these newcomers give back. And then Mario Uribe years ago had established Art Alley as a street name, so they could find our studios down that alley. And I thought, this is perfect. We'll have them do what we call an outdoor vignette based on a character and words, like the Velvet Bandit does in her own way. Now, these will be, you know, interpreted by the seven differently, but so when you walk in, you'll see some of their work that they've been doing, and then something they'll give back in the form of an outdoor vignette that Nick and I, mostly Nick, will install towards the end of the month after the show comes down. The show is up for 2 weeks and open on weekends.
Very cool. So this brings then the Velvet Bandit into the conversation. So your artwork, Velvet Bandit, is street art. Can you tell us sort of how you came into street art?
This all happened during COVID. It's actually the second week during lockdown. I got laid off as my job as a lunch lady, and I was stuck at home with my two kids who were suddenly homeschooled, and I had nothing but my art supplies to kind of keep me sane. And I've always been a fan of street art and graffiti, and I thought, well, shoot, now's my time to just try it myself.
Yeah.
And also as to give back to the community. So I actually had a pad of newsprint in my garage for about 10 years that I hadn't touched, with the intent to try wheat pasting, because I had seen that before, and it always intrigued me. So I tried it March of 2020. I did a little toilet paper roll that said, "Let's roll," because we were all panic buying toilet paper
absolutely.
At the time.
We all remember that. Yes, yes.
And it was kind of a nod to George W. Bush.
Okay, right, after the Let's 9/11,
Roll. The Let's Roll.
Yeah.
And I wheat pasted it on this bridge on the Creek Trail in Santa Rosa, and it was such a thrill, and it looked so cool, and it was just, I got instantly hooked, and I went back home, and I just started painting all these silly little things about COVID, and I just thought the community needed it at the time.
Yeah.
And it just kind of stuck.
That's so cool. So your pieces, do they all have some sort of words or written message on them?
Most of them, but not all. I've mm-hmm. painted flowers. I've painted portraits.
Yeah. Is it important to you to have that message as part of your artwork that you're putting out there?
Because I do have a background in activism, so okay. It was kind of a cool way to intersect the two, activism and being an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Where can people see your artwork?
Here, there, and everywhere. All over Sonoma County, Mendocino County, the Bay Area. I even have my artwork over in Europe.
Oh, wow.
People have repasted it over there.
Oh, that's neat.
Up in Portland.
Yeah. And you've been doing this since March 2020.
Right, so about 4 years now.
Wow, wow.
If I could just interject a little bit, too, about what the Velvet Bandit is talking about in her work. I mean, I think the thing for me that I also wanted to do with the newcomers was to be able to send forth sort of positive messages, maybe humorous messages. Mm-hmm. I didn't intend for anything to be too profoundly serious, but at the same time, we all know that satire and comedy and humor has a serious component to it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can reach people through that. But I think the fact that it never dawned on me that I would try to find the Velvet Bandit and she would actually say, "Yes," you know. And I literally just looked her up, and what I loved about what I read was that she had started by putting positive messages into the world, and I think our time now, you know, the days that we're living, just every positive message we can get, I think, helps. And a little laugh and a little bit of of something very upbeat helps. So I sort of have encouraged that. Now, whether it will be interpreted that way, I don't know. And then also the Velvet Bandit will also have a wall with a new outdoor vignette that she did, and along with some of her own work, too. So she'll be part of that exhibit. And we started this, Nick and I, with her being a surprise guest, not letting anybody know. But now they do know, and we're looking forward to having her be a part of that exhibit.
That's great. And you're going to be incognito at this exhibit?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Protect your identity.
Right.
I mean, street art, you got to do it. Okay, so when you say that this is going to be these outdoor vignettes, what do you mean by that? Are they done in the similar style on newsprint, or what do you mean by that?
Well, Nick can comment, too, a little bit on the theme, that we did give them a theme.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to have a cohesive body of work, and it's going to start indoors. Mm-hmm. And they all, part of being cohesive is everyone gets the same prompt to create the art. And the second thing is that we have a general size that they're going to start with.
Okay.
And it's what was the material, Mary, again?
It's called Palon.
Yeah, that's gessoed, basically. So this is a very durable surface that can be, it's going to start on the inside of the gallery, and then 2 weeks after that, it's going to be posted somewhere in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of got an inside-out thing going, which is kind of cool. There's a different stage to it. And because I think that in some ways, art inside is less powerful than art outside, because passerby sees it. It's more interactive. It's, you know, it's just a whole, it's very, it makes this show very dynamic.
Right, right. And it is something that you don't necessarily expect, right? When you're just going about your day and then all of a sudden you're driving down the road or you're walking down the street and you see art, you know, that is not something like, you know, publicly sanctioned kind of thing.
Yes.
That is something that's very powerful, right?
It is. And I think we're very fortunate in Sonoma County to have young people have the opportunity of being in Art Start or the Art Quest program. Yeah. Art Start in general, you know, is all about public art. And so the 4 out of the 7 that came through that know that when you put up an outdoor piece, you run the risk of it being, of course, seen, but you also, there's the weather and there's the possibility of graffiti. There's the possibility of someone not enjoying it or not liking it and responding differently than you thought, which is kind of intriguing, isn't it? It's sort of like cooking a different kind of soup, you
right.
know? So there's all of that involved with it too. It's not a wheat paste that we'll use. We'll use actually a Nova Color gel on Pelon, but again, it's not like it's this glorified mural that's happening.
Right.
These are just small outshoots of a style that is their own, based on a theme. You know, it'll be up for a couple years. You know, the landlords may want to paint their buildings, and the artists know that. We have to talk about that it could easily be destroyed. 1 of the 7 is a very complicated sort of layer after layer sort of vintage album cover.
Ooh.
And the word there is euphoria.
Huh.
And so she may not even have any other work except for that one, because she's been working diligently. She really wants to have a copy of that made.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll do that. We'll take a good digital image and make sure she can do a wrap.
Okay.
Before it goes up, because some of them have really put a lot of time in on some of these. Yeah.
Right, right. And that's another aspect of your work, Velvet Bandit, that I wanted to ask you about, because it's so interesting. I used to do very, very elaborate work on my nails, like very elaborate nail art. And it was sort of heartbreaking. I'd take pictures of them, but then I'd wipe them away and they were gone. So do you have that sort of feeling of attachment or detachment to your artwork?
I try to just let it go. Mm-hmm. And that was because in my old artwork, yeah, same as you, I would really get attached to details and get hung up on them, and it would take me forever to finish a painting. But with this style, I just, knowing that it's not going to last forever, I don't get hung up on the details.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah.
So I'm able to let it go.
Yeah. Are there pieces that you won't put up because you like them too much and you want to keep them for yourself?
I can't say.
Mm-hmm. No?
I've done pieces that I don't like that I haven't put
that's
up yet.
Yeah. I love that letting go phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even though, I mean, my own work, I mean, I work on many pieces at once. I try to have a couple shows a year. I try to go through the world painting and pay my bills that way, which is not easy. But that notion of letting go, even on whatever level you're making art, I mean, this was such a good message to the newcomers, too, about however you develop your work, the idea of the process itself and not getting so attached that you can't make the next new piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes attachment keeps you from developing. And that was another component that I liked, the simplicity of the Velvet Bandit. Sometimes you can be so simple that it's more profound. And then sometimes you can have a better craft or a better skill, mm-hmm. and yet the message is a little tighter somehow or something. But I love letting go. We could have a program just on what letting go as an artist means.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the attachment to pieces,
yes,
or your fear,
yes,
of the next piece.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's so
mm-hmm.
much in there, too.
Yeah.
Nick, let's talk about your work a bit, because I really love your work. You also have a studio within Backstreet Gallery. Tell us about your work.
Well, as a longtime art teacher in high school, the one thing that I always had to help students with is making portraits look good. And, you know, because they wanted to, you know, they usually were picturing their heroes and or famous people or whatnot. So after finishing teaching art, I realized that, this is a skill set that I had kind of in my bones. And so it was very easy to transition and make work. And, I've recently pictured some Black Lives Matter images.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also just getting back to the, you know, life is finite and it's ephemeral. And, you know, art is meant to be collected in one sense. But, you know, even the artwork that I've made, I don't know, you know, some of it's collected, some of it isn't. But I tried to build in, I used door skin the last few pieces, and because I loved, you know, having wood show. So I like to have a process where two things are happening at the same time. One is an image, and then marry that somehow with whatever background that is being choose to use. I've often used collage, I love using newspaper, but it looks so low quality, too ephemeral.
Right.
Yeah, but and then there's I pictured moneyed images, the bill note images, and I put those on cardboard, kind of symbolizing the fact that our money is becoming less and less valuable.
Right.
Putting it on non-valued garbage cardboard material.
Right.
But
yeah,
some of that cardboard would be coming from Indonesia, you know, a furniture box. And then I put a George Washington on it. So kind of like it leaves, there's a trace of what its original purpose was and then what brought it over here. So that was, I was trying to like weave those conceptual components into my work.
It is so much fun to go to exhibits like this, to talk to the artists, to see their process, to ask them the stories like behind the different pieces like we just heard from Nick. So this is a wonderful opportunity to meet some new artists who are just exploring and figuring out what is my style, what is the kind of art I want to make, and knowing that might not be the kind of art you're going to make in the future as well. So this is a perfect time to see a snapshot of an artist who is developing, who is becoming themselves. This is so cool. Mm-hmm. The SOFA's newcomer invite, 7 artists at Backstreet Gallery showing their work. They'll have 1 outdoor street vignette created for the Art Alley. This is happening on first Friday, March 1st, 5 to 8 at the Backstreet Gallery. There will be an intro of the artist at 6:30. Is there a cost to attend this, Mary?
No, it's free.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also be able to see the artwork for those 2 weekends, right?
Yeah. I thought it was important to also sort of teach them a little bit about how you sit a gallery, how you host people when they walk in. I'm always a big fan of letting people look and not coming, you know, being very quiet around them until they want a question to answer. So we talked a lot about that. They're kind of ready to do that. Now, the Velvet Bandit doesn't have to sit the gallery, but she's certainly welcome to come the 2 following weekends, open 11 to 4 p.m. But they'll be hosting that. I'll be around, but I just felt that it was important for them to do that. The other thing that's happened, which is so wonderful, is they have gotten to know each other. And so a lot of them will be sitting the gallery together, and then they've had sort of paint-off parties. They're having one tonight, actually, in one of the galleries. And they're kind of critiquing their own work together and gotten to know each other. There are 7 artists, 22 years old through 37 years old, and 4 of them I've known since they were teenagers. Annabelle Anderson is our youngest, and she's a graduate of Evergreen College and the niece of the Imaginist Theater Collective. So she was down and around the hallways, got to know her, and she decided to be part of it. Amelia Ketzer-Dean was a Nick's student years ago in high school, and then she came through Art Start. She called me just recently after a decade in December and wanted to ask some questions. And she's really got a lovely little painting hand, and she's going to go far. She's 26 or 27. Then Alina Newbell joined us and is actually Nick's studio partner. She's 34, 35. I've known her a long, long time. She's been on A Street now 3 years. She's a dynamo. She helps build community herself, but she too has a really lovely painting skill, nature images. Jacqueline Finkel, again, I met her at Art Start years ago. She does very brightly colored paintings.
I love her stuff. Yeah, I love one of her pieces. She's so good.
Oh yeah, she's a character, and she's got a new little, she's doing figures right now for this show. That's new for her.
Yeah.
And then 3 others walked in. Keviette Miner, who has a show at Steel Lane. She has a wonderful art background in Southern California. I didn't know Keviette, but her mother, Yvette, walked in to talk with Kristen Troop in the building about a project, an activism project that she did. And Keviette, I found out, was a lead artist at Art Start, and I invited her. She's going to be really, her pieces are about her faith in God, and she has a series called Beloved that It's going to just be really fun to look at. And then another, and then Katie Marin was another art star. She's the one doing the vintage album cover, Euphoria.
Cool.
She's probably at home painting right now. And then another 30-something walked in by the name of Charlie Bird. And because her name was so great, I had to invite her, Charlie Bird. And she really hasn't had many shows, but her goal was to produce 30 little black and white drawings that are watercolor, and then one vignette. And she has a raccoon in a recycling bin called the Garbage Guru that's going to be going up. So, I mean, it's just been delightful to get to know these seven, and I think I covered everybody there.
Are you sharing your artist space? Are you taking things down off the walls for the artists to be there for these 2 weekends?
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty much of a designated show in our whole gallery.
Got
I will say, though, it is a first Friday. So the rest of the neighborhood will also be active. And thank you to everybody who comes down there, because those first Fridays are starting to become more and more active. So many other studios will be open that night. And the neighborhood itself, the artists down there and other buildings are fully aware that this is going to be happening. So they'll be open, too. So you can see a lot when you come down on that first Friday.
That's great.
In March.
And Velvet Bandit, are there other pieces of your artwork that we could find around the SoFA District?
Absolutely. You just have to look around.
All right. So look up, look down, look all over the place. Yeah. You'll see Velvet Bandit artwork. That's so cool. One thing I did want to ask you about, especially for these artists who are just starting, being an artist can be sort of a solitary kind of experience, right? That you're doing your work a lot on your own. What do artists gain from having a show, having an exhibition?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So it is interesting because artists are solitary. You know, you make stuff all by yourself. But in life, we really have more in common with everyone else than not. Mm-hmm. And it's for lack of communication that we don't know this. And so, and the life of an artist is a solitary thing, and it doesn't necessarily need to be that way. And that's probably the most unattractive part of the art itself is the loneliness of, you know, you make things that maybe aren't rewarded or not, you know, and having a community that supports one another is happening right now in a very organic way with this group.
Yeah.
And, we wanted to specifically support young people who find themselves more in isolation now as a residue from 2020, from the pandemic, and actually the cell phone, you know, world isolates more.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you, and you don't really, you're lose touch of humanity. And so I think this is kind of a glimpse of what a collective, how a collective can support one another.
Yeah.
And art school, which is not as popular as it used to be, used to provide that, where you'd feel like, okay, you know, I'm not a nut out here just working all by myself. You know, I've actually, you know, where other people say, hey, you know, you, anyways, the human communication is so important.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to provide a glimpse of, you know, the potential of these young people. And I think it's going to be really vibrant and exciting.
Yeah. And it is so much fun to do art with other people, too. Like, getting a chance to come together. We've done some drink and draws and hanging out and doing those things together.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It is great. And I think community is very, very important. However, I mean, how this all started for me when for example, Amelia or Alina and I would have a discussion, and in all seven of these interviews or weekly, you know, feedback that we talked about together, that message of, you know, what it takes to produce new art, it is true. If you're writing a book, you can't do that with other people around you.
Right.
If you're really going to focus in on something, you do have to have some time. You have to be very comfortable with solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And aloneness is very different from solitude. I have a makeup, I guess, that like to write and like to have some time alone. We talk about that a lot. I mean, this is what we've talked about over the years, how hard that is to find that time. It's for you and I have a hard time acquainting ourselves with solitude, right?
Yeah.
But without it, you can't really define yourself. You can't get to the work you're doing. And then after you do the work, and after all, this is so wonderful, you're helping us promote this, but you can't promote unless you have a piece of art.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, we've had long discussions about that, how important it is to really just develop your work, try to get comfortable being on your own and then going out. And there, you know, that's a good discussion. I think probably the reason I wanted to do this is because I had been a teacher for many years, and then I went into the world of solitude. 80% of my life is painting, 20% is showing it to others, and then socializing. Really right. True. That's true. And I think I was missing the component of sort of an art education venue that I had years ago, and I thought, you know, I will do this. I'm missing community. I'm missing talking with others, especially young people who really want to try to do it.
Yeah.
So it seemed that idea of aloneness seems like a topic to consider in this conversation.
It really is. Yeah. Well, thank all of you for inspiring other artists, for giving other artists an opportunity to shine and to grow and to communicate about their artwork with the rest of the world. This is great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
My guest today, Mary Vaughn. You can find her online at maryvaughn.com, The Velvet Bandit at thevelvetbandit.com, and Nick Mancias. His last name is spelled M-A-N-C-I-L-L-A-S, nickmancias.com. And again, the event is the Newcomers Invite. It is the first Friday, March 1st, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Back Street Galley in the SoFA District. This is Sonoma County Focus.
Sonoma County Focus. Be good to your skin. You'll wear it for the rest of your life. Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery offers numerous treatments to improve your skin and help you feel and look your natural best.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery offers state-of-the-art surgical and non-surgical skin-improving treatments. The experts, led by triple board-certified Dr. Greg Chernoff, have an impeccable reputation for providing procedures and treatments that provide exceptional results with minimal or no recovery time.
I had lines, wrinkles, and sunspots until I started coming to Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery. They gave me options, a treatment plan, and I saw results. I'll only trust my face to the experts at Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery.
Contact the office and learn about new patient offers for Botox, dermal filler, and laser skin improving treatments. Visit online at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
Check out their offers. Click on specials at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
The Sonoma County Legal Line can provide you with answers to your legal questions regarding family law from Elisa Ehrlich and her team.
My husband is leaving, and he says he's entitled to half my retirement savings. Is that true?
My wife and I are getting divorced. How do I make sure that I can keep seeing my kids?
Divorce can be emotionally devastating and legally confusing. Hi, I'm Elisa Ehrlich, certified legal specialist in family law. I have 25 years experience with child custody, divorce, support, and property division. We'll help you with the challenging issues of divorce and domestic partnership and get you through it with compassion and understanding, all while protecting your legal rights.
How do I protect myself and my kids and make sure we have enough money to live on during the separation and divorce process?
Elisa Ehrlich and her team will guide you through the challenging issues of divorce and domestic partnership with compassion and understanding, always protecting your legal rights. Real answers from the law offices of Elisa Ehrlich. Find out if you actually need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to SonomaCountyLegalLine.com.
Now, another hour of America's greatest hits for Sonoma County
on 102.7 The Wolf.